To the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Still to come, like I said, jam-packed show today. Jamie Keel in about an hour. Susan Dumas, my friend from Shelby County, in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll wrap it all up with former state senator Rusty Glover. Get some analysis from him. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. In the meantime, text line 251-343-0106. That's the best way to correspond with this show. So please, by all means, participate on the text line. But joining us now, friend of the program, always a delight to have him on. And he also comes on whenever I'm guest hosting in Montgomery. But my friend, State Senator Will Barfoot from Pike Road joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing well, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Surviving, as they say, but we'll make it through to play another day. Just broadly speaking, Senator, we're about to start another one of these sessions, and you're now kind of a veteran, I guess, in terms of that chamber. How do you feel, you know, this role, Judiciary Chairman, a lot of things to consider this year?
Yeah, so I've enjoyed being the Judiciary Chair. It's a lot of responsibility, and you know, I hope I've been up to the task. We're going to have a lot of legislation that comes through this session, specifically probably a good bit, as it usually does, that goes to the Judiciary. I mean, Judiciary is the committee that either has the most or second most. Our friend Senator Elliott and I like to debate that sometimes, of who has the most bills coming through their committee. So, you know, looking forward to it. It's going to be a busy session. I think, you know, I was told, you know, my first quadrennium or first session there, that, you know, each session is like a different child. And, you know, I've got five, so I can understand that they're all a little different. And I suspect this one's going to be the bad child. I mean, we're going to have, it's going to be a bumpy ride. There are going to be lots of potentially contentious legislation, and looking forward to digging into the words on the page and see what they mean, see what they do, and hopefully we come up with a good product or kill something that's not a good product. So looking forward to that over the next couple months.
Well, I want to kind of hone in on gambling and gaming. Now, I don't know where you are on either of those, on that subject itself, but I know this proposal downstairs in the House, I mean, it's going to essentially create a new law enforcement arm, and I understand it'll be under Aaliyah. I how do you feel about that as kind of the portfolio of law enforcement? We do have a prohibition against gambling in the Alabama Constitution, but it's one of these things that, it's a subject for interpretation and how these local constitutional amendments all play out, and it's a big mess. But like one of the justifications we're going to get, it seems to me, heading into this legislative session is, hey, we got to pass a comprehensive bill because we need this entity to kind of police what's going on in this state. And I wanted to bounce that off of you.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, you know, I haven't seen the legislation. Quite honestly, I'd be surprised if it's actually in a hard format at this point. So we'll see once we get in there and what the House does. I suspect it'll start in the gambling legislation, will start in the House, and how it's modified there if it gets up to the Senate. So from the standpoint of the enforcement, you're right. The Constitution 1901 prohibits games of chance. And there have been some 25, 26, 27 constitutional amendments over the past 123 years now, I guess, by local legislation. And quite honestly, we failed to wrap our arms around what any one of those entities in any one of those jurisdictions that's provided some type of by local amendment that they're able to conduct some gambling procedures and gambling games of chance. We probably don't really have a good idea of what's actually happening in those areas, to say nothing of the illegal games that are games of chance and gambling that are going on throughout the state. I mean, Representative Witt, I think, made a point to say, you know, you can drive a couple blocks from the state house and walk into a gas station and you can buy some scratch-off tickets. And I think probably is, you know, meets the definition of gambling or games of chance that, you know, we wouldn't normally think about, but probably is illegal. So we do have a lot of illegal activity ongoing. I think the problem with that is that it's in so many nooks and crannies. You've got maybe enforcement that's lacking in certain counties. You know, I've heard some specific examples of that, but not the will to enforce, you know, the laws that are out there. And so I think that's part of the argument for those who are, you know, who are probably advocating for, you know, this gambling package, is that we need to enforce the laws and get a better hands around. Now, I do agree with that part of the equation. I think, you know, I think there's lots of illegal gambling that's going on now, and we're not doing a good job of enforcing it. Whether or not we need a comprehensive gambling package to accomplish that's a different story, but we'll see what comes from the House. The gambling issue has certainly taken a lot of air and oxygen. So we'll see. I just hope that wherever that debate goes, either in, you know, passage or failure, I hope that we're able to get some other things done that we need to focus on throughout the session. And, you know, I've certainly, and other lawmakers have issues that are extremely important to the citizens, and we want to get those up. So we hope we didn't kill the rest of the session just by focusing just on gambling.
Well, and fair enough. But I guess the question I would have is this. I mean, like, we have laws in the books. Like, why is it so difficult to enforce the laws? Is it just a matter of local jurisdictions just flouting the law? Like, there seems to be sort of a disconnect between what we perceive to be the rule of the law versus what's really being practiced.
I think it's the will to enforce the law that's there. And in certain jurisdictions, you probably have elected officials who are looking the other way, or who may not be intentionally looking the other way about some illegal gambling activity that's going on, but believe that the penalty for those gaming activities is maybe they have murders to deal with rather than a misdemeanor gambling offense. And so I think it's probably a combination of both throughout the state in different jurisdictions. And I think there are probably some counties and municipalities that do a good job of enforcing what's out there. But I certainly think there are jurisdictions that, like I said, either look the other way or just believe, intentionally look the other way or just believe, you know, I don't have the resources to spend on a misdemeanor conviction for this when I've got murders and robberies happening on a daily basis. So
we're joined by State Senator Will Barfoot here on the program. Senator, another thing, and we had your colleague, Senator Grudger, on earlier this week, this ballot harvesting bill and taking the penalty for ballot harvesting, which is this idea you go around collecting absentee ballots and those get, you know, count in the election, whatever it may be, taking it from a misdemeanor to a felony, give it more teeth. And I guess this is sort of same in the same realm as gambling, where in some local jurisdictions, it's just, you know, the law be damned, which is the way we do things here, and trying to get a handle on that. What do you think of that, particularly from a law enforcement standpoint? Is that the right way to go about it? Because it clearly is a thing that goes on certain times throughout Alabama history. How do you resolve that?
Yeah, I think it's a fine balancing act there. I mean, you know, certainly you don't want, if I were to take a ballot request, an absentee ballot request to, you know, an elderly person in my church, you don't want to see that being punished. But I think the goal and the intent is that you see in certain counties around the state, for sure, you see, you know, a significant percentage of the vote that's being collected by absentee ballot and probably maybe by some individuals who are being paid to go around and do those kinds of things. And I think that's what the legislation is aimed at curbing, is that, you know, some of that that ballot harvesting, as it's been called, where you've got paid individuals who go around and to community centers, you know, maybe churches, and have a pre-printed ballot or form, and, you know, just say sign here, and where people really aren't educated about the vote that they're making and being, in some cases, maybe even coerced. And I think that's something we've got to address. And I think Senator Gudger's bill, as I understand it, does that. Well, you know, we got pretty close last year. I think that was Representative Keel's bill in the House. Senator Gudger sponsored that in the Senate last year, and we were fairly close. I think we'll see that, as well as some other very conservative type bills being introduced, and probably the first part of the session, you'll see a lot of debate, discussion about those bills. So hopeful that we can get that moving.
Well, and then that gets me to the next question, kind of more broadly speaking. And I know the way the Senate works, it's a deliberative body, and things tend to be a little slower in the Senate. But you look at it, and is it going to be different this time around, where you don't really have a few Democrats kind of commandeering such a large amount of the time, and you're gonna be able to maybe move some more of these things like ballot harvesting through the process and not have them bogged down because, you know, one or two members are going to throw a monkey wrench in everything, even committee processes, to keep things from now, like, from becoming law?
Well, I think you'll see this session. So in previous sessions, maybe, you know, there were bills that maybe weren't introduced until halfway through, or, you know, got committee hearings until later on in the session. And, you know, time does run out. I mean, you know, thankfully, you know, the Constitution of 1901 limits the number of days that the legislature's in session. Sometimes the best form of government's the least form of government. But this session, I think you'll see things a little bit different. I think those are going to be a early session priority, to where the time will not be a factor. Now, you know, from a philosophical standpoint, I believe that, you know, we all should have time to debate, time to discuss those, time to put our, you know, our thoughts forward so our colleagues can hear. And the Democrats do a really good job of that. Sometimes mixed in with a lot of, maybe not real debate, but just slowing down the process. And from that standpoint, you know, I don't know that it's a bad thing. It works against us at certain times, but, you know, there are times when Republicans are, you know, divided on issues, and, you know, we can also use those rules to our advantage to stop certain things. I think, you know, you'll probably, you know, have that situation come up this time, going back to your first question about gambling. My guess is that there will be some Republicans that use those rules to their advantage in an effort to, you know, debate, discuss, and maybe delay a vote on any type of gambling activity or gambling legislation comes up. So the procedure isn't necessarily bad. Sometimes it's not the outcome that we want, but, I mean, I think the procedure itself is not a bad procedure that we have. So
we'll wind it down on this, Senator. We're talking about the one big topic. I know gambling's one, but school choice. And I'm kind of interested to hear this from you, because you have a unique situation there in your district. I mean, you know, the Montgomery Public Schools, or Montgomery County Public Schools, and the sort of the explosion of growth in Pike Road, and this idea of school choice, and you know, all those dynamics there. Mobile's different from Birmingham, and we spend a lot of time on that. But what is the appetite for the school choice idea in your neck of the woods? Where are you on that these days?
Yeah, so I've co-sponsored the Price Act last year, and with Senator Marsh the year before, had his version of a school choice. I was a co-sponsor on that, supportive of the concept, and I think we'll get something passed. And you're right, it is I mean, there are members who I think are conservative in their thought process. You know, we use that term a lot, but conservative in their thought process, but have some concerns because they see their school districts is performing well, that that you know, they're supportive of the idea, but they don't want to hurt their own school districts. And I get that, you know, in the Montgomery area, District 25, which is Crenshaw, Elmore, the Tallahassee school system as well, Pike Road, and then Montgomery Public School. I think there is a balance there. I mean, I certainly don't think school systems should be forced to take children from another or outside school system. So I think we've got to make sure that that's in there. I do think there has to be some accountability. It's taxpayer dollars. So there has to be some accountability in there to make sure that, you know, mom of four is not just putting her child over in the corner, children over in the corner watching TV and collecting, you know, $6,800 per child. And so I think there has to be that accountability there. But ultimately, you know, it's the parent's responsibility. The responsibility as a parent to raise your child. And I think, so there are even parents who have children that are in a school system that's not failing, correct? But they may say, you know, I see the curriculum that's being taught. I see what my child has been subjected to, you know, this CRT, divisive concepts bill that I intend on sponsoring and passing this year. As well as the DEI stuff that's going on in the world we live in. The parents should have that choice to say, you know, just because I live in this school jurisdiction doesn't mean that I have to send my child to a school system that is advocating for these things that I don't believe in. So it's twofold. It's not just about the educational performance of a school district where parents ought to be able to choose where their child goes, but it's about the social curriculum and what's going on in that classroom and what the kids, what the teachers, administrators, what they're filling their child's head with from a social standpoint as well. So I think school choice is important. I think we'll have an opportunity to pass it. And I believe the governor's on board with passing something. I just, you know, I want to see what the details of it are, and hopefully it's not school choice light. Let's put it that way.
Senator, you're always very kind to make time for this program, and maybe we could catch up again sometime during the session.
Hey, I always look forward to it and appreciate you giving me a call today.
Hey, thank you for coming on. State Senator Will Barfoot there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.